All right, welcome to the 716 Rocks podcast. My name is Nate Tron. To my right, I got...
What up, Buffalo? It's Grizzle.
All right, and behind the glass, we have our producer from BMA Productions.
Hello, Buffalo.
Redbeard. My man, how's it going, Redbeard?
It's all good in the hood.
What do you got, OJ? You got coffee over there? You're stacked for a Saturday morning.
Coffee, man. Double-fisted.
There you go. There you go. All right, Grizzle. I don't know, man. I'm struggling. Dude, if it's going to be more of this the rest of the season, this is going to be rough.
We can just apologize to the listeners out there in advance. Listen, if this podcast today isn't everything you hope for, well, the Bills aren't giving us a whole lot of positive materials.
Yeah, here, so. I know. You know, we feed off their energy. We feed off of them. We're going to try, guys. Grizzle, here's the deal, man. I mean, 5 days ago, we're sitting at 5-3 thinking, man, I don't know. Are the playoffs maybe a possibility this year?
Do you remember McColt Hughes coming in for the show?
Yeah. Like,
laying down the idea of 11-5.
Ooh, 11-5, they'd have to run the table from here on out to get that. I think McColt was, a little off. But, I mean, 5 days, I mean, we could be sitting here this morning just jubilant and joyful and singing the shout song. We're not going to do that again today. They could be 7-3 with some respectable AFC victories. Now they're 5-5, losing two straight must-win games. So I don't even know, man. I don't even know where to start this morning. What do you say we jump into the offense?
Let's just pick something. Let's pick the offense. Here we go.
Pick it out of the hat. Here we go. Offense. Dude, I don't know, man. Nowhere to be found. Didn't score an offensive touchdown the entire game. Orton, dude, is the law of averages coming into play here?
I don't know. I mean, you try the first few games, when you think about Kyle Orton, we were excited. You know, we've talked about it. He's busting the stogie out. You know, he's
got the stash.
He's throwing the ball downfield. Confident. We're getting excited. We're like, man, we haven't seen this in Buffalo in years.
Right.
But these last couple of games, I mean, it does seem as though he's kind of averaging himself out to where his career stats seem to indicate.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the previous games were so good. If you throw in the average there, the last couple of games had to be so bad to get to the average. So, I mean, he's not single-handedly losing these games. You know, we talked about it last week, 4 incomplete passes on the KC-15 last week. Just super inaccurate. You know, this week, the last two offensive series of the game, his stats, he goes 2-for-6 and ends up taking the only 2 sacks in the entire game on both of those series, you know? Both series to go 4-and-out. So it's just like, ugh, you thought this is the guy that could get it done. You know, this is the guy that you could rely on at the end of the game, get some points on the board for you. It's just not working out anymore. You know, I even look at the last play of the game, dude, for the Bills, the offensive play. I was struggling. You got 4th-and-3, and I don't know if this is a design play or what, but...
Let's see, 4th-and-3, game's on the line.
Yeah, okay, break it down.
Let's draw this up, coach.
What would you do here?
Let's see, we're going to send Sammy on a slant, you know, that may be our first read option.
Got to.
Pick up the first down.
Because he's the guy that you traded up for, because you know that if you throw it in his general vicinity, he's going to catch it,
in
right?
In theory, he is the number one guy you want to look at.
Right,
so
right.
We draw that up, and maybe we put Chandler on a nice 10-yard in route or something down the field.
Sure. He can box out.
Exactly. He's typically good for getting the ball on those conversion downs. But somewhere down the list, maybe fifth?
Is after Hogan,
Bryce Brown running down the sideline,
streaking down the left side.
Let's throw it to him.
Who, he falls down 15, 20 yards, man, on the route. He tripped and fell down, and the ball sailed over his head like by 20 yards. I don't know. That's got to be a QB call there. Why?
One of the things I don't understand is, you know, the previous games with Orton, it seems like the timing with the receivers, it was pretty good.
Yeah,
but you look at last two games, really, why is the timing off? Why does it seem like the chemistry that was there before the bye week has just disappeared? I don't understand that. I mean, something happened over the bye week? Somebody get their feelings hurt? Or
I don't know, man.
I mean, what's going on here?
I don't know. Yeah, it was rough to watch. You got Watkins. I mean, again, Watkins, you know you got to feed him the rock. 3 catches. About 7 targets. The ones that were missed were way off. I mean, I'm glad they finally did an end around to him.
Ran a little screen pass to him. That was
the first
nice to
one
see.
Of the year.
Yeah, that was
great.
Nice. That was encouraging. But
they should have come back to it. No,
I don't know. I wondered at parts of the game. There was one point where Watkins checked himself out, and I remember we were talking, like, is he hurt? Is it the groin? It looked like he kind of slipped on the field a little bit.
Yeah.
But then you look later on in the game, he has that that deep pass they try going to him. Right. I mean, he's got the corner beat.
Right.
So he can't be that hurt.
Handily.
And Orton, it looks like, just overthrows him on it. So
yeah.
It just doesn't make sense. It's like, okay, is the guy hurt? Well, there's signs that sort of say there's something going on, but then there's signs where he's beating corners, clearly beating them, where, okay, how can you be really hurt if that's happening?
Yeah, it's frustrating. So Orton's off with the accuracy. Timing doesn't look good. They're not getting Watkins the ball. Our running backs, you know, we got Booby Dixon and Bryce Brown. A lot of people are excited to see Bryce Brown being the feature back. You know, together they average 3 yards per tote. I mean, that's not going to get it done.
Freddie Jackson, when you coming back, man? That's what
F-Jax.
I want to know.
F-Jax, we need you, baby. The Bills need you, man. Dude, I know you're a warrior. Prayers are with you. Get out there.
All right, let's move on.
All right, let's get on. Let's just I can't talk about the offense anymore. I don't have much more to say. They just didn't get it done. Defense, you know, at times very respectable. You know, you look at the first half, they only allow 3 points. I mean, you know, Miami's doing some things with the ball. But 3 points, one field goal. Second half, you know, the defense, they allow 17 points. And, you know, I was thinking about it. I know the offense wasn't that good. You know, they kept turning the ball over, three and out. But, you know, the two touchdowns that Miami scored on, the first touchdown in the third quarter, they started on their own 20. It was after the Bills kicked a field goal. So they drove it down 80 yards. And then in the fourth quarter touchdown, I was thinking, oh, you know, maybe that was the one where the offense turned it over in their territory. But no, I mean, Miami, they still started with the ball on their own 37, but they still had to drive it down there to get that touchdown. So second half was definitely rough to see. And girls, I got to ask you, with the offense performing so poorly, do you think the defense just gets discouraged in the second half?
Well, I think it's obvious. I mean, you look at what the defense is doing, and it's always the same old story. Last 10 years? Out of how many years has it been, really? But the offense just fails to produce. They fail to put anything but field goals on the board consistently. And I mean, as a defense, when you're laying yourself out there, you got your motor running on the D line, and you're just going after it. How can you not get discouraged when you get the ball, you give it over to the offense, and they really do nothing with it, nothing to keep that energy going. I mean, the defense, you can't tell me. I know there's no way to really rate that statistically,
right.
But there's no way you can tell me that the defense just doesn't feel like, what the heck's going on? I would love to really hear some of the conversations on the sideline. You know, second half, they showed Mario Williams talking. They showed, who else was it? Hughes talking for a while. You just wonder what they're saying. Like, is it comments about, man, what is our offense doing? This is ridiculous. But it's got to be frustrating. You know, it's got to feel like, what are we doing here? Why are we even, you know, laying ourselves out there and just laying everything on the field when the result is going to be the same, that it's just field goals and games being lost that really shouldn't be.
Right. You know, Mario Williams, he goes off for 3.5 sacks.
3.5. Mr. Red Eyes.
Baby. Oh, my gosh. Demon Eyes. And I watched the guy. He was on fire. I mean, he was destroying Miami's tackle. And it was good to see. But, again, you got to think, I don't know. I'm having an awesome game here, and our team just stinks. Like, what's the point? I know they're professionals, but, again, you can't tell me some of those emotions don't play into the game. Let's talk about the corners for a second, man.
Oh, gosh.
Hey, McKelvin came up big this game, just like he guaranteed, right?
Wait
a second. What did he say?
Leotis McKelvin. You were the highlight of the poll question last week.
Yeah.
The poll question, okay, is the risk-reward factor. After the game against Kansas City, he has that untimely fumble off the punt there that really was a big turning point in the game. Poll question, is the risk-reward factor worth keeping him around? The voters' response, we got 20% say, you know what, despite McKelvin's blunders, he makes up for it in the long run. But, unfortunately, the overwhelming majority at 80% say, you know what, nothing can make up for the consistent mistakes that this guy makes.
Let the people speak.
Here's what I got to say, though. You watch the game to the 80%. He's not going to be playing, since if you were watching the game, he literally got his ankle broke by Lamar Miller.
That is insane, dude.
A little bit embarrassing. Maybe it was a little bit of a slip on the field, too, but nonetheless, pretty embarrassing. And this after what you just mentioned, McKelvin, after the Kansas City game, we're going to kind of rework his statement a little bit.
Oh, you're reworking it? FCC, kind of, yeah. They're going to get you.
You know, there might be kids out there listening.
Right, right.
He's like, dang, we going to go out and beat them, man. Point blank, period. Leotis, you might want to take that statement back, buddy.
Oh, dude. You feel bad. You don't want anyone to get hurt, but my gosh. Miller literally broke his ankles on that cutback.
It's always the expression.
Who does that?
You're playing with the boys, right? You're playing with the boys. Somebody makes
a
nice
move.
Oh, he just got his ankles broke.
Yo, man busted his ankle. No, it really happened, though.
It actually just happened.
And it wasn't even, I guess it was a deft move out there. I didn't think it was maybe it was a slip up. You know, and we're going back and forth with the guy on Facebook. A little bit of a Bills insider. Maybe an employee of the Bills. And he's just like defending McKelvin.
Telling
tooth
us
and nail.
Look up his stats. Do you know his stats? Listen, there's no stat category for untimely fumbles that ruin a game and certain plays that you're getting beat long and you're just letting the game fall apart. I don't care. You got a great number of tackles. You got interceptions. You got touchdowns on your stat block there or whatever. That's great. But there are no stats for some of these stupid plays that ruin games.
There's no stat for getting your ankle broken by Lamar Miller.
That is true.
You know, I'm looking at this, and he throws out there, you know, who are you going to put in to replace him? And I'm thinking, Corey Graham?
What happened to Corey? Where did he go?
I was like, wait, after the game, I'm like, I'm glad I didn't say that.
But seriously, where did Corey Graham go to? Think of week one and two. The dude was like,
he pretty much won the Bears game for us.
Yeah. And he was out on a few. He was confident. He was, like, just unstoppable.
Yeah.
What was he doing? He should have had two legitimate interceptions.
Yeah, they both hit him in the arm. Those could have been game
All right, changes. The second one, they're in the end zone. He had to dive a little bit for it. It did somehow go through his forearms instead of his hands.
Forearms.
Dude, the other one, though, literally the dude was standing straight up. It just hit him in the arm.
I don't know, man. You got to rope
Where
that
did
in.
He go?
I'm wondering, is it maybe just he hasn't had consistent play on the field? And
I don't understand.
Like, he needs a warm-up out there? I don't know. I mean, you're a professional, though. You're playing every day out there in practice, going against the first-teamers. And
it's like whatever, you know, football spirit was inside of this guy somehow went to go haunt Scrooge McDuck for Christmas, and he's gone, and now we just got somebody named Corey Graham out on the field.
The ghost of Bill's playoff hopes past. Has come to haunt him. Can we talk about the contain for a minute, though?
Can we talk about the lack?
The lack of contain?
What is this?
Oh, my gosh.
It's another thing that drives me nuts on the deal. How do guys not contain? Is it really that hard?
Grizzle.
Wait. Let me explain this to you. Here's the idea, right?
Tell me. Break it down, coach.
You're on the end, okay? You can't let the runner, the quarterback, whoever's in the backfield, you can't let them outside of you.
Yeah.
There's nothing more complicated than that. It's just, it's that simple, right? It's that simple. You can't let the guy outside. There's no little asterisk of if, when, this, that. It's like, just don't let him outside of you. How does it happen? Look at the Kansas City game.
Oh.
Again, I hate going back to blame the game on the defense, but the two scores that they scored on, the two touchdowns.
Ugly.
It was just simply a lack of contain. And again, big plays this week against Miami, same thing is occurring. There was one play where I actually feared Mario Williams was going to do the same thing McKelvin did.
Oh, man.
And it looked like pretty much an instant replay. Now, fortunately, he didn't break his ankle. But I just don't understand how these guys don't contain. Like, it drives me nuts. Playing flag football.
Oh.
But these guys are professionals.
I know.
It drives me nuts in flag football. Like, dudes won't contain and big plays occur. You're just yelling like, dude, all your job. Your sole reason out there, your job is just to keep the guy contained. That's it. That's all I'm asking you to do. It's not hard. Why does it happen with these guys? And it's all over the league. Like, these guys are supposed to be professionals. It's just an issue of discipline. Like, it's scary. It's scary to me to think that these guys are professionals and you can't have this simple little bit of mental discipline that it takes to contain on the D-line.
I don't know. Maybe Mario won his fourth sack.
You know, again, I hate throwing that out there about Mario, but it's still. It's like whether it's Mario, whether it's somebody else, doesn't matter. Like, dudes are not containing the football.
There you go. You heard it here on the podcast. Contain, 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 baby. It's what you got to do that the Bills D isn't. I even hate bringing this up, Grizzle. We got to talk about the referees this time.
All right, let's give them their minute of glory, baby.
We just got to talk about it. You know, the refs, I feel like they really did play a factor in the second half. You know, you look at the safety, right? You got 1 minute left in the third quarter. And Orton, I don't know. I don't know. Is this Orton? Is this the referees? But that was a questionable call. I mean, Orton drops back. He's got pressure. He heaves it downfield in the direction of Sammy Watkins. It looked like Sammy was doing an in and out. And, you know, they call intentional grounding. And I'm like, man, that's a tough call, dude.
It's a big call. I mean, some groundings are obvious. I mean, that one was really questionable.
Right.
And then on top of it, the fact that it's going to turn into a safety.
Right.
It is. It's a big call. I mean, it's 2 points on the board. It can change the nature of the game. But I don't know. You know, it's these refs, man, I think you said the other day, it's just Bush League, man. Bush League refs. What can you say?
Bush League refs. I mean, the truth is, you put points on the board, you don't got to worry about these. These chubby cheekers out there.
Exactly. There's the pass calls. Interference.
On Gilmore, yeah. I mean, you got 12 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Miami's got the ball at second and six on Buffalo's 37-yard line. They call Gilmore for a great – I mean, that looked like a great timed breakup down the middle of the field. It ends up being a 24-yard penalty. And now Miami gets it first on Buffalo's 13. I mean – I don't know. You know, if they don't call that, now Miami's got the ball third and six. If they just stop them one more time, chances are the Bills get the ball back with no points going on the board. Instead, that turns into 7 points. So I look at those two calls alone. Those two calls alone from the referee is both extremely questionable, resulted in 9 points for Miami.
Yep. I don't know. You got to talk about it. Like you said, I mean, the Bills, they put touchdowns on the board and convert where they need to in a red zone. We're not having this conversation, but unfortunately, it's the lack of the production on offense that leads to the fact that we have to talk about the refs.
Yeah. You know, so coaching, you know, we railed a lot last week, right? The turnovers, the fumbles, it's just so frustrating. And yeah, the players are doing it, but it's like, man, what are the coaches focusing on? What are they talking to their players about, you know, between games about, you know, ball security and... Okay, so this game, Bills have no turnovers. Great. They're plus two in the turnover category. And didn't Coach Marone last week say, well, we gotta win the turnovers? Like, that was a reason last week.
Yeah,
and why Coach Marone said that they lost to KC. Well, yeah, you know what? They won that stat. They were plus two. Hey, Marone. Hey, your team didn't win.
3 points.
We got 3 points off of two turnovers.
Three measly points off of two turnovers.
I mean, just absolute garbage. And then, you know, you look at the conservativeness of punting him fourth down. So frustrating when we hired him last year in Jan 2013. You know, Marone's just breathing this hope. You know, analytics, fast tempo offense. All that went out the window. He is so conservative on fourth down. And, you know, after the game and the post game, the reporters, you got guys from WGR trying to ask him about, you know, what was behind your decision. He just sounds like a blubbering idiot. Like, he doesn't even know what he's talking about.
I can't stand these dudes that don't, like, just answer the question. You know what I mean? Like, don't worry about hurting somebody's feelings. Oh, you know, you ask questions about Kyle Orton. You don't even answer it. Like, just say, you know what? He didn't play good. Just say it. Like,
we all know it.
We all know it.
Who are
just
protecting?
Frustrates me to no end when these dudes, like Coach Marone, whoever it is, there's other guys in the league that do it. Like, just answer the question. Just be a big boy. Strap on your big boy pants. Answer the question.
Strap on that strap.
And make it happen.
Come on. You know, and again, that not to belabor the point, but the punt, it's you got 8-9 minutes left in the game. You're down by two possessions. You're in Miami territory. It's 4th and 6. Your team converted a 4th and 20 2 weeks ago. It's 4th and 6. You elect a punt. Ultimately, Miami doesn't score, but they take 5 minutes off the game clock. You get the ball back with 4.5 minutes left and you still got to score twice. Like, that doesn't make sense. And it's just so frustrating seeing him making these coaching calls. You know, Grizzle, the truth is, if the Bills do not make the playoffs this year, which is really looking unlikely that they will, I think he's got to go. I think Marona's got to go. You know, we're not going to get a quarterback next year.
Right.
So you ride Orton and EJ. You get your rookie quarterback in 2016. But I don't know. Let Schwartz drive for a while. I know that's probably not an upgrade at head coach, but
no, he's got to go. You know, I'm totally with you. I mean, the Bills, they need a new coach. They need a new quarterback. And like you said, quarterback, it ain't happening soon enough. So let's start with what we can with the coach. That's what I think. I'm going to throw that out to the listeners this week. We'll see. I'm guessing we're going to get majority says that we need to get rid of the coach. But poll question for this week ahead, hey, do we need to get rid of Marone? Or are you happy with what he's doing? I would find it hard to believe that anybody really feels that way. But we'll throw that up on the 716 Rocks Facebook page. One other thing I want to say about coaching, though, that just it drives me insane watching the game.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to say what really happens in the locker room, right? We don't know. We don't know what he says. We don't know day to day when they're not on the field what Marone is talking with and what his conversations are like. But it frustrates me when his on-the-field presence, it just seems separated. You know, I mean, it's harder to describe what I'm saying, but it's like it seems like the coach is there, the players are playing a game, and he's just kind of – he's more – in tune with his headset versus really locking in with the players.
Right.
It just frustrates me. It's like, man, where is the connection? Like, you think of coaches around the league. I think of a guy like Sean Payton. There's a guy, to me, who seems in tune with his players. Like, he's into the game. And, yeah, he's taking care of his coaching responsibilities. But the players feed off his energy. You can't tell me they don't.
Right.
Even a guy like Pete Carroll. I mean, here's a coach who came out of college, right, just like Marone. They just won a Super Bowl. Does Carroll have an amazing quarterback? I don't think so. He's got a smart quarterback in Wilson.
Yep.
But you look at Pete Carroll, and listen, there's some things that annoy me about Pete Carroll. He can be a little over the top, whatever. But the thing is, you know what? At least he's doing what he can to be involved and be in the game with his players. I mean, the dude will jump all over the place. Somebody on defense makes a good play. He'll be high-fiving them, getting into it. Somebody makes a stupid play. You know what? He'll take him to the side and he'll be like, man, what are you doing?
Right.
I don't ever see anything even close to that to some of these good, better coaches. I don't see anything close to that with Marone.
Yeah.
It just frustrates me to know it. Like, you are one of the leaders of this entire organization. Like, what are you doing?
Right. You know, he seems disengaged, dejected, and blubbering. So there you have it, guys. Our poor, poor Buffalo Bills are 500 on the season, 5-5, with a 2-5 record against AFC opponents. Pretty pitiful.
There is still a chance. I mean, there's still a chance. Well, we got Football Outsiders saying, hey, the percentage chance of making the playoffs at this point for the Bills is 18.3%. We'll see if that happens.
Would you take those odds? You put some money down?
I'm not putting any money down, but
maybe a 20 spot?
You know, I will say for our listeners, there's one thing that I can just make you feel better about. Redbeards came up with this nice find from the Christmas store.
Oh, what do we got there?
And I want to play a little something for you just to get you in the spirit, get the emotions up a little higher.
Hmm. All right, guys, thanks for tuning into the 716 Rocks podcast. Appreciate you spent this time with us, and go Bills. Hopefully they turn it up next week. So make sure you check out the website, 716rocks.com. Check out our Facebook page and find us on Twitter. Lock it up, Grizzle. All right, man. Peace.